Chapter 7 is about that early warning signal that I call not quite right, which is so unique to everyone. Here's the chapter heading. Imagine a life where a slight feeling of not quite right can free you from fear, anger, and frustration. Recognizing and understanding and acting on the first tiny feelings of not quite right is another point that is essential to life with your horse in the stress-free zone. Not quite right happens in the front part of the brain before you start feeling fear, anger, or frustration. I experience my early warning signal that something is not quite right, first of all as an absence of peace or joyfulness, then as a faint physical feeling in my solar plexus. My editor experiences his as a loss of mental clarity. I've seen lots of other people express not quite right as faint feelings of physical discomfort in various parts of their body and in all kinds of other ways. When you recognize, understand, and act on the magic questions, when you get that first tiny, faint feelings that something is not quite right, then you don't even need to go into the feeling part of the brain, nor do you need to go into the physically working it off part of the brain, and sure as anything, don't have to bury emotions in your body anymore and cause health problems or have them come back more intensely later. When I first discovered how to listen to my emotions like this, I paid attention to the emotions themselves, and I found doing it that way was a total pain in the rear end, with emotions whooshing up and down all over the place unnecessarily. When I realized that there were these really faint feelings that happened before the emotions and started acting on those physical feelings that I call not quite right, consistently acting on them consistently every time, then I had a much more peaceful life. And yes, that is another one of my dry Aussie understatements. Operating off not quite right means that I mostly live in the stress-free zone. Woo-hoo! The lessons on the audio that come with the book, Zen Connection with Horses, not with these particular audios, those book audio lessons are designed specifically to help you figure out how you experience not quite right so that fear, anger, and frustration becomes a very occasional experience for you too. The stress-free zone then becomes normal for you too. I'm just pausing for a moment from actually reading the book to you and suggesting that if you want to have a go at these four magic questions right now, then pause this audio wherever it's appropriate and get your answers. In the series of lessons that this book audio is going to be part of, you will find many ways to make this whole process much easier than it was 7 years ago. So, back to the book. Have a go at three of the four magic questions right now and feel how they work. Think about the last time that you felt uneasiness, anxiety, afraid, angry, or frustrated around your horse and remember that feeling. Make it about something small and easy for this first practice. So the first question you ask is, so whose is it? Is it yours? Is that uneasiness, anxiety, afraid, angry, or frustrated yours? Or is it your horse's? Or are you connected to someone else on this issue for some reason that you need to understand? What is it? Question two. What is it that you need to know or do in order for these feelings to disappear? And question three. Has it all gone yet? Has every tiny little uneasy feeling of not quite right gone yet? Remember, if you get the answer right at each step, the feelings will get noticeably less or even go away, and every feeling will be completely gone if you've got the whole answer. So it's worth it to keep going until every feeling has completely gone. And if the answer doesn't come leaping to your mind, then that's okay too. There are not only other ways of doing it, sometimes there are other ways that it has to be done. But the one thing that you don't do is struggle for the answer to the magic questions. Struggling brings in old fears and old traumas and old behavior patterns into the process that are rarely going to bring you the correct answers that you're looking for. Sometimes it's because we simply don't have the information right now and we have to find out something. When that happens for me, I just set my intention to understand whatever those feelings are about and to get whatever that information is. And from that point, I just keep my eyes open to and become aware of the things that happen around me. Sometimes when the answer doesn't come leaping to my mind, it's because it's a big issue that I need to understand. It takes time to get the smaller pieces of the puzzle and put them together to get all those little insights that lead to the big understanding. And I keep a notebook for these insights. Reading the notebooks from time to time is a good idea too. Yep, that's another one of those very dry understatements. When I was going through all of our notebooks as I was writing Bobby's diaries, I discovered that poor Bobby had told me the same thing over and over again in many different ways. If I had been reading the notebooks earlier, I would have noticed the pattern faster. No wonder he got sick of it. Another thing that you can do if the answer doesn't come leaping to your mind is to go and meditate with your horse. It's a particularly useful technique that allows thoughts and ideas to float up into your mind when your mind is normally a bit too busy to hear them. Even those people who have had trouble meditating in the past find it a lot easier to do with their horse. And if you've never meditated before, you are in for a treat. I talk you through a meditation sequence on the book audio, not on this one, on the book audio. For those of you taking antidepressants, if you feel the feelings at all, you won't feel them as strongly as everyone else. That's the purpose of antidepressants. By the time you feel any feelings, it would be quite intense for someone who was not medicated. You need to understand that when you are so connected to your horse that you are feeling their feelings, that if you get to the stage of actually feeling fear, anger, or frustration, then it's going to be pretty intense for your horse already. You can still experience not quite right through some antidepressants. Sometimes it will be a knowing rather than a feeling, though don't get hooked into my ideas about that. You'll get the opportunity to explore how you experience not quite right for yourself. If your feelings are totally deadened by antidepressants, you'll need to pay meticulous and detailed attention to the visual that you see with your horse if you want to use this approach with your horse. Watch for the tiny changes in their eye that I call the blocked eye, where they're just not interested in you anymore, and back off from that. Get familiar with every little visual detail of your horse's way of expressing how they feel. You can explore that too in the lessons at the end of the book. The rest of the book talks about all kinds of things, including why it's so valuable to be able to develop a quiet mind with your horse and how to use not quite right and your stronger emotions to get what you want with your horse. I talk about the comfort zone model in more detail than we had the chance to do in the 6 Keys to Happiness with your horse. And there's stories about things like how I discovered the deep comfort zone, dominance versus leadership, a lovely story that talks about why leadership is not as important as we thought, and a bunch more very special stories, well, special to me anyway, about using this philosophy in practical situations for practical outcomes with some real live horses. So, I hope you enjoyed hearing me reading the first 7 chapters of Zen Connection with Horses.